Welcome to Terrible Truth Radio Show at Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Martha Trowbridge. You just heard Fooled by Glenn Miller and his orchestra from 1941, the perfect opening song for today's show, wherein the Holy Spirit shines his laser light of truth upon Obama's identity fraud. Now, why did the man who fraudulently presents as Barack Hussein Obama II lie about whom he truly is? Did AKA Obama concoct his identity fraud on his own? If not, with whom did he work? What data was utilized in the creation of the fraudulent fake Obama identity? In days to come, will Bari Malik Hitler Shabazz, a.k.a. Barack Obama, be held responsible for his treasonous criminal identity fraud? Or will evidence prove he was coerced into playing the role he plays? These are huge questions requiring extensive answers. This show's intent is to get you started thinking about these questions. In a few moments, we will touch upon three elements of the Obama identity concoction. Touch, I say, for we will need years to fully analyze the tangled, vast, utterly crackpot Obama identity scam. Before we embark upon today's expedition into the fantasy land of the BHO2 identity, please, I'd like to take you to another Glenn Miller song, this one entitled It's Always You. It's a song that transports us to a deeply hidden place within AKA Obama's psyche, a place called out at the time young Bari, his birth identity being Bari Malik Shabazz, a place called out in little Bari's head that was stuffed to bursting with the unfulfilled, vengeful dreams of his maternal grandfather, Adolf Hitler. So here we have It's Always You from 1941, Glenn Miller and his orchestra. It's Always You. If you lift away the obvious romance references, the core theme is that in everything this man sees is the other, the you, who, for young Bari, was his mother, Braun Hitler. Now, what was always and is to this day still mom's raison d'être, her reason for being? Revenge for her father, Adolf Hitler, who, in the heads of his faithful, was unfairly run out of Berlin in 1945. And who do Hitler's faithful blame most? America. So, mom, at a young age, takes up residence in the United States with the express purpose of destroying it. And later, with her son, Bari, a.k.a. Barack, set up from his earliest existence to be the agent by which the dreams of his grandfather, Hitler, get actualized. One world under the Nazi Reich, Hitler's New Ordnung. But first, America has got to be brought under control. More about this in another show. Let's return to young Bari, to the boy, the teen, to his, quote, reality, End quote. I'm going to read an excerpt from historylearningsite.co.uk from their Nazi Germany section. A few lines from the subsection there in the Nazi Germany section entitled Music in Nazi Germany. Quote, what might be defined as popular music was controlled heavily by the state, that is, by Barry's grandfather, Hitler. Jazz music, which, by the way, was Barry's father, Malcolm X's favorite music, was banned as it was considered to be black music with origins from the southern states of America. The Nazis associated jazz music with black Americans, and as a result, it was labeled degenerate. End quote. Degenerate. Degenerate. And yet, this half-degenerate boy, son of black Malcolm X, maternal grandson to Adolf Hitler, is cast into the position of having to actualize the dreams of his mother's father. Is it any wonder that Barry grew into the person he did? Ever hear the term crazy making? Now, try to reconcile the indelible degenerate label of his grandfather's Nazis together with this. Barry is born and brainwashed to be his grandfather's vindicator. He must resurrect the Reich by any means necessary. Do you recall A.K.A. Obama's vignette that his mother would awaken him early in the morning, long before school hours, to teach him about his father? Insert grand before father, and you'll get the picture. And if you want to really flesh out that picture, take a listen to this, yet another revealing Glenn Miller recording, this one from 1939, entitled The Little Man Who Wasn't There. Pay attention to the occult references. One of the opening lines is, I know there's someone following me that I can't see. Someone sure laid an awful hex on me. And as you listen, note how the narrator whistles to drive off the little man haunting him. Ever see Barry leaving the Oval Office whistling? Is it to run off his grandfather Adolf's ghost, perchance?
Just to scare the ghosts away?
I know there's something following me that I can't see. Someone sure laid an awful hex on me.
A hex? Aw, Tex, that's pretty far-fetched. Man, I think you're just a little bit touched.
If you'd have got a load of what I saw last night, you'd have passed the Yankee Clipper on his maiden flight. Last night I saw up on the stairs little man who wasn't there, he wasn't there, and today, oh, how I wish he'd go away. When I came home last night at 3, the man was waiting there for me, but when I looked around the hall, I couldn't see him there at all. Go away, go away, don't you come back anymore. Go away, go away. and please don't slam the door. Last night I saw upon the stair a little man who wasn't there. He wasn't there again today. Oh, how I wish he'd go away.
The little man who wasn't there, or was he? Omnipresent, towering, overpowering. I'd like to call your attention to an evening 11 long years ago when John Kerry launched AKA Barack Obama onto the national political stage at the Democratic National Convention. Remember? I sure do. I noticed something extraordinary on the face of Boy Wonder Barack that night as he delivered his zillion times rehearsed World's Greatest Orator speech. The improbable love motif he used to describe the dynamic between his mother and father. His mother, of course, as we've heard over and over again tonight, the daughter of Adolf Hitler and Eva Braun, and his father, Malcolm X. It was the most honest expression of affect I've ever seen on Barry's face, and believe you me, that face is a close subject of study in my investigative work. As he crooned improbable love, there was no angle, no caginess, no deceit, no role-playing, no acting, just genuine amazement. Improbable love, indeed. Hitler's teenage daughter, wild and reckless in New York City, sexually involves herself with Black Nation of Islam minister Malcolm X, the most radical revolutionary in America of his day. So, out of this improbable, reckless, and utterly nuts liaison, keep in mind that Malcolm was twice her age, a baby is born, a baby boy. And as if he hasn't enough to manage culturally, the boy, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, I truly hate to report this, it eats me up. Little Barry, from his earliest days, becomes enslaved. Enslaved by his notorious racist, white supremacist, European grandfather, Adolf Hitler. He is enslaved personally, his only worth being as agent to effect the reemergence of the Nazi Reich. He's enslaved professionally, coerced into studying the law and surrendering all to a life in politics under utterly false pretenses of being the son of a Kenyan. He's enslaved spiritually. The boy becomes inexorably bound to a life of grave sin, weighty crimes, stealth, and demonic destruction, enslaved by the unfulfilled dreams of his iconic racist white supremacist grandfather. What's more, Barry, aka Barack, is enslaved by the loss of his identity, the very thing his father Malcolm X railed against, prompting him to use X to replace his last name of Little with X in memory of the slaves who lost their identities by virtue of their enslavement. So yes, you heard correctly. I am stating that de facto a.k.a. Obama, was born into slavery of the worst sort and, to this day, remains enslaved. Now, on to the Obama identity fraud scam. It was, the Obama conspirators assured themselves, the perfect crime. A crime so poetically perfect, it did Grandpa Adolf Hitler proud. The creation, establishment, and political activation of the fake identity Barack Hussein Obama II. A Nazi underground destroy America scheme hatched as far back as the 1950s when Hitler's raging teenage daughter deployed to New York City to avenge her father's 1945 World War II defeat by the Americans, sexually united with America's then foremost radical revolutionary, Black Nation of Islam minister Malcolm X, which in and of itself is an entire radio show. Out of this socially and politically rebellious sexual union came son Bari Malik Shabazz, actually Bari Hitler Shabazz, who since at least the 1970s has been fraudulently presented to the world, first as B.H.O. Jr., and then, when questions arose as to nomenclature, B.H.O. II. Today's Terrible Truth Radio Show studies three heretofore unrevealed aspects to the most colossal, most consequential identity fraud scheme in human history, the Obama identity fraud scheme, which wickedly, surreptitiously, and to employ a graphic image of Bari's maternal grandfather, kicked in the door, barring Hitler's male blood descendant from barging in and occupying the most power-filled political office in the world, the United States presidency. Accumulating evidence indicates that this act in 2008 was a coup within a coup by the Obama conspirators subgroup of Hitler's spring 1945 established Nazi underground. This Obama conspirators Nazi underground subgroup, headed up by a triumvirate of Bari, his allegedly deceased uncle, rabid National Socialist, a.k.a. Nazi, New York City activist Dr. Fred Newman, and his still-living mother, Hitler's little girl, a.k.a. Malcolm X teenage lover, Joanne Newman of New York City, a.k.a. Weather Underground comrade Anna of Bill Ayers, a.k.a. FBI Most Wanted Fugitive Domestic Terrorist Elizabeth Ann or Anna Duke, a.k.a. the utterly fake Stanley Ann Dunham, a.k.a. a U-boat load of additional fake identities. Now, it appears that this Nazi underground subgroup, whom I've been terming the Obama conspirators, hijacked the slow-burn Nazi underground New Ordnung, New Order, New World Order scheme to destroy America from within, which was put into action pretty much concomitant with Hitler's cowardly flight from his Berlin Führerbunker in April 1945. Hitler, by the way, lived on for 17 years after World War II, years filled with retaliatory revenge plans. Anyway, Bari and Mom not only hijacked the slow burn destroy America from within Nazi revenge scheme, they commandeered the process, accelerating it to the destructive political recklessness the world and America has been suffering since January 2009. Phase one, term one of Obama's Nazi occupation of our White House, masterful Hitler-esque stealth, quite similar to Adolf Hitler's fake, deceit-filled peace and prosperity propaganda of 1933 through 1937. Historian Alan Bullock termed them Hitler's counterfeit peace years. Phase 2, Term 2 of Führer Obama's stealth Nazi United States presidency, an open, all-out assault on America, on her values, her traditions, her freedoms, her economy, her military, her allies, her patriots, and her right to peace. With increasingly open, audacious alliance with enemies of the United States. For that essentially is who he was born and brainwashed to be, America's chief destroyer from within. Before we examine element one of today's show on Obama identity fraud, which is the born in Hawaii contextualization of AKA Obama's birth, we must first enlighten our minds with the dark inner workings within the psyches of the Obama conspirators. In short, it is the Nazi psyche, dramatically, demonically enhanced and abetted by digital technologies and other so-called scientific advances, which, by the way, is another issue for study in and of itself. Anyway, here's what we must sturdily grasp as we venture into this dark, devious, demonic Obama conspirator universe. Within their heads is an utterly mad intersection of the actual world and their deranged, invented world. An Obama conspirator's world created to effect Hitler's grandson's Nazi Fourth Reich occupation of the United States presidency. It's a God thing, a demon God thing, which you'll hear in a moment streams straight from Adolf Hitler's psyche. We need to comprehend that the invented, imposed world of the Obama conspirators upon the rest of us is a signature sick blend of a bit of real with a dung load of unreal, the not real, to yield for them a reality, quote unquote, perfectly suited to whatever end they wish to effect. They then take this psychotic mix and impose it upon the rest of us, which is utterly reflective of Bari's grandfather, Adolf Hitler's exertion of will, the world as he, Hitler, demanded it be forced upon the rest of humanity. In a future show, we'll take a look at Triumph of the Will, which was Hitler's great propaganda documentary. But at the moment, let's just open a tiny window into Hitler's I shall impose reality uber dictator psyche. And that window is his Ferntraung decree, which is Ferntraung. In this decree, women of the Reich could marry dead soldiers. Please, I'd like to repeat that. According to Hitler's Ferntraung decree, women could marry men who were dead. That is, Hitler restructured and rewrote the marriage law way back when, sound familiar? So that he could impose his view of how reality should be upon actual reality. In this case example, why did he do this? Well, first and foremost, to bolster his pathological false belief that I am God and therefore have dominion over the dead as well as the living. Secondly, to impose his judgment of how the law should be, the marriage law in this situation, in order to extend widows' pensions to dead soldiers' lovers and, get this, to legitimize children born out of wedlock. Think about it. Herr Lawlessness, Herr Slaughterer, wants to legitimize illegitimate children without the father having the opportunity to object. This indeed is very telling, especially given that A.K.A. Barack's mother, Adolf's little girl, was already born by then and born illegitimate. Very, very telling. Now, why is it Bari, A.K.A. Barack, is so comfortable ruling by decree? We find a mirror of this fundamental Hitlerian attitude that I have the right and the power to make anything I want real and official, of course, in the executive actions of his grandson, Bari. And in Dr. Fred Newman, Bari's Uncle Fred, his model for the theater, Perform Your Life. Fred basically taught you can make your life anything you want it to be. Just perform it, and it will be real. A lesson clearly imposed upon Bari Hitler Shabbat, who is dutifully performing his life as United States President Barack Obama. So with the Obama conspirators, we have an artificial created person, BHO2, made to be born in Hawaii with an imposed reality biography, most of which has been proven fraudulent. Let's recall that our show opened today with Glenn Miller's Fooled. This 1941 RCA record had on its flip side, It Happened in Hawaii, which we studied a bit in our previous show, Terrible Truth Show, American Patrol. It Happened in Hawaii was mysteriously remastered in June 1991 when Bari Hitler Shabbat, performing his life as Barack Obama, safely made it through Harvard Law School under a false identity. In other words, this song, It Happened in Hawaii, at the time when the Obama identity was secured with a coveted Harvard Law School credential, this song was prepped for a comeback. So let's listen to what Billboard magazine had to say about Mabel Wayne, co-writer of It Happened in Hawaii, who wrote this in late summer 1941. Quote, in Tin Pan Alley, Mabel Wayne ranks as America's first lady of song. Writer Jack Burton goes on to say that Mabel Wayne, quote, also holds the world's record for bad timing. 5 months later, the Japs made their sneak attack on Pearl Harbor. End quote. Think about that. The Obama conspirators construct a fake love story between fake Stanley and Dunham and Kenyon Obama, based upon the sentiment expressed in this song, It Happened in Hawaii, which just so happened to be written by America's First Lady of Song. So let's listen once again to It Happened in Hawaii, flip side of the song Fooled, with which we started the show today, 1941, Glenn Miller and his orchestra.
but maybe tomorrow I'm full of you. Was on the island of desire. There were a lot of stars and steel guitars to set our hearts on fire. Oh, what a setting for forgetting everything and everyone beneath the sun but you. All the dreams that I left behind me come back to remind me of that lovely rendezvous. It barely started and ended. And why should circumstances bring an end to anything so splendid? One night it happened in Hawaii, and it happens that I'm still in love with you, and it happens that I'm still in love with Hawaii.
That was It Happened in Hawaii, 1941, Glenn Miller and his orchestra. So on to the first aspect of the carefully contrived Obama identity, the core aspect, which is the born in Hawaii contextualization of the leader of the Nazi Fourth Reich, the literal biological heir to Adolf Hitler's Nazi throne, Bari Malik Hitler Shabbats, falsely, fraudulently presented to the world as Barack Hussein Obama II. Now, why was it symbolically imperative for the Obama conspirators to contextualize the birth of Adolf Hitler's grandson in Hawaii? In Honolulu, specifically. Why? Well, if you knew Hitler, you would know that his Axis ally, Japan's decision to attack America was not theirs alone. In fact, it's safe to say that Japan was used by Hitler as his proxy, his instigator, so that when United States President Roosevelt predictably responded to the Pearl Harbor attack with a war resolution, Hitler, days later, could demonically, innocently state, Germany had to declare war against America. They did it to us first. Sound familiar? For wicked symbolism, Adolf Hitler's grandson, a.k.a. Obama, is established by the Obama conspirators as born in Hawaii. In Honolulu, in fact, the precise location at which Hitler, via his surrogate Japan, launched in 1941, 20 years before the fake Obama birth, his first military attack on America. The fake Obama birth, therefore, represents Hitler's second attack on America, two decades later in 1961. This time, though, Hitler's attack is not by overt military might, but by election stealth. It's a second decisive Nazi attack on America via the ballot box. This time, the scheme being destroy America from within. Hitler's war against America was born in Honolulu, 1941. Hitler's continued war against America, his second act of material aggression, this time intended to be lethal, was symbolically born in Honolulu two decades later in the guise of an innocent baby, his grandson, who'd grow up to fulfill the dreams of his grandfather. Now, this Honolulu birth contextualization for Hitler's grandson, Bari Hitler Shabazz, commonly deceitfully known as Obama, had another equally wicked intention. It afforded Nazi Fourth Reich Führer Obama the opportunity to clandestinely, occult ritualistically, return to Honolulu over and over and over for vacations, especially for Christmas. We'll talk some other time about why Christmas is so important to the Obama conspirators. So that Hitler's grandson illegally, clandestinely, and fraudulently United States President and Commander-in-Chief could routinely, clandestinely stomp on unsuspecting American troops and on America in general, could grind in America's face over and over the successful, horrific, stealth first act of war by his grandfather Hitler via proxy Japan at Pearl Harbor. Now, FYI, Pearl Harbor joined with Hickam Air Force Base to create Joint Base Pearl Harbor-Hickam, where, thanks to the fake Obama born in Honolulu narrative of the Obama conspirators, ritualistically you will find AKA Obama demonically visiting with troops, playing golf, working out, and so on. Isn't that just demon perfect? Grandpa Adolf Hitler is surely grinning from hell. So there was irresistible and indispensable evil doing afforded by a narrative establishing Obama born in Hawaii under the guise of American president. He gets to do an occult Nazi military victory strut every time he visits Hawaii. That is, he gets to desecrate our sacred wounded ground by darkly, deviously co-opting America's World War II victory. At least in the deranged psyches of the Obama conspirators, that's what he's doing. Now, why is ritualistic behavior so essential to the Obama conspiracy? And boy, oh boy, conspiracy doesn't begin to describe what they've done. I've spoken of the Obama conspirators' integral use, as with the Nazi conspirators of old, their integral use of the occult in their political evil doing. As you may be aware, numerology has a key role with those employing the occult, which is the use of numbers, the factoring in of numbers, in particular in this situation, Nazi-relevant numbers into their decision-making. When the Obama conspirators chose the contextualization of Honolulu for the Führer Adolf Hitler's grandson, Führer Obama, to be born, they also chose a date with demonic numerological significance. This choice of date is the second aspect of Obama identity fraud we will be studying in tonight's show. Numerology, numbers. Let's take a look. August 4th, 1961. When creating the fake identity Barack Hussein Obama II, why August, why 4th, and why 1961? Well, for starters, August 4th is the day that Corporal Adolf Hitler in 1918 was awarded the Iron Cross Medal for his service in World War I. Hitler, a nobody who went on to command the entire German military. Let me read a passage from Alan Bullock's Hitler, A Study in Tyranny, which is an outstanding book. I highly recommend it to you all. try to get the unabridged version. Anyway, from Hitler, A Study in Tyranny by Al Bullock, quote, "The Iron Cross, first class, an uncommon decoration for a corporal, which Hitler was awarded in 1918. The most varied and improbable," there's that word improbable, "the most varied and improbable accounts have been given of the action for which he won this. The date on which he received the award was 4 August 1918. Whatever the occasion for this award, it was certainly a decoration of which Hitler was proud and which he habitually wore after he had become chancellor." End quote. I wonder who now possesses that treasured Iron Cross, which is now nearly 100 years old. Bari, your mom, who, contrary to the fake Obama narratives, big fat lie, is still very much alive and often in your company. Much more on that at the Terrible Truth blog, and that would be terribletruth.marthaturbageradio.org. Anyway, let's look closely at this August 4th, 1918 Iron Cross Medal of Adolf Hitler date, and how else it squares with the fake Obama born in Honolulu narrative. 1961, the fake year of Obama's birth. 1918, Hitler's Iron Cross year, has a span of 43 years. They are 43 years apart. Now, what does this mean from a numerological perspective? For the Fourth Reich, Obama's Fourth Reich. 3, for the Third Reich, Hitler's Third Reich. And when you put 4 plus 3 together, what do you get? 7. Hitler's lucky number. 7. 7. The original band of Nazi brothers from the good old days. The good bad days. The good evil days, actually. Hitler often boasted of the dramatic accomplishments of these 7 original Nazis. Okay, so moving along, if you look at the date's numeric shorthand, 8-4-1-8, Iron Cross Day, Hitler's Iron Cross Day, there's another occult numerologic significance. Add all 3, 8 plus 4 plus 18, and you get 30. 3 plus 0 signifying the Third Reich. Add 8 plus 4, and you get 12, which, if you add 12's 1 plus 2, you get 3 again for the Third Reich. Add 1 plus 8 from 1918, you get 9, the number for Mars, the god of war. 9 is also 3 times 3, which is 3 threes, the devil's delight, which, guess what, also can be read as 33, the year Hitler grabbed power in Germany. So it's easy to see why August 4th was a must for the fake birth of AKA Obama. Before we move on from Iron Cross Day, something very, very curious, The Iron Cross was given to German Army Corporal Adolf Hitler, AKA Obama's actual grandfather. Well, guess what? The utterly fake Stanley Dunham just so happened to be a corporal in the Army, the United States Army. Isn't that fascinating? Fake World War II Corporal Dunham, of no actual military record. Oh dear, that's right. His records were destroyed in a fire. Right. Aren't the Obama conspirators clever? My, my, oh so clever, oh so dumb, assuring each other that God's Holy Spirit's laser light of truth would never shine on their dark and devious scheme, that by their massive destruction of evidence and replacement with fake evidence, no trail of evidence exists by which they will be convicted or punished. Right. Let's return to the second aspect of Obama identity fraud we examine tonight, the choice of August 4th, 1961, as the so-called birthday of the Obama conspiracy's leading male character, BHO2. August 4th, 1961, in numeric shorthand, such as you will see on the utterly fake, forged, long-form Obama birth certificate, if you look at the numbers-only depiction, you will see 8-4-61. Well, guess what? As the devil would have it, the numbers translate thus. 8 plus 4, August 4th, equals 12. 6 plus 1, 1961, equals 7. 12-7, the very date of the World War II Pearl Harbor attack. Shall we award the Obama conspirators an A++ for contriving this birth date for Adolf Hitler's grandson? You know how much they crave outstanding grades. Perhaps this will persuade you. August, month 8, is 4 months shy of 12 December, the Pearl Harbor attack month. August 4th is 3 days shy of the December 7th date of the Pearl Harbor attack. Fancy footwork indeed, paying dual homage, simultaneous homage to Obama's Fourth Reich birth in Honolulu with Hitler's Third Reich attack in Honolulu. Evil genius, yes? But there's more. Embedded in the fake Obama born in Honolulu birth narrative is a third evil aspect. Three, as we said earlier, is Satan's very special number, mocking God's Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Here's the third stroke of evil genius occultly embedded in the fake Obama birth narrative, the time of birth. On the fake long-form birth certificate image, you will see that AKA Obama was contrived as born at 7:24 p.m. The Pearl Harbor attack commenced at 7:55 a.m. Now, first off, note the demonic inversion. To those who pay homage to Satan, inversion is a core M.O. Day becomes night, good becomes evil, and vice versa. Law becomes lawless and the illegal law. Patriots become enemies of the state. I sense you get the idea. So we not only see demonic inversion of the early morning Pearl Harbor attack, we see yet more demonic homage. 7:24 p.m. is 7 plus 2 plus 4, Satan's 13, the most special occult number. There's additional occultism embedded in the time of birth of Adolf Hitler's grandson, Bari Hitler Shabbats, a.k.a. the fake character Barack Obama, a fake birth crafted to symbolically strike the second, this time totally decisive attack against America actualizing the evil dream of Grandfather Adolf Hitler, there's a 31-minute difference between 7:55 a.m. when the Pearl Harbor attack commenced and 7:24 p.m. the fake moment of the birth of Hitler's grandson, a.k.a. Obama. 7:24 p.m. is 11 hours and 29 minutes past 7:55 a.m. 11, which is 1 plus 1, 29, which is 2 plus 9, 1 plus 1 plus 2 plus 9 is, guess what, another 13, Satan's special number. 7:24 is also 31 minutes short of 7:55, the full clock cycle from morning to night. Why? 31 minutes, numerologically speaking, is 3 for the Third Reich, plus 1, Bari comes along, which makes the Fourth Reich, the Nazi Fourth Reich, the birth of the Nazi Fourth Reich, plus the demonic inversion of 31 is, guess what, 13, a third 13 embedded in the time of birth of the Fourth Reich Führer, a.k.a. Barack Obama. Consider this as well. A.k.a. Obama's fake time of birth in military time is 1924. In 1924, Hitler was not only sentenced, he also was released from Landsberg Prison. Landsberg Prison, where in 1924, Hitler wrote Mein Kampf, setting into motion his diabolical plan to exterminate the Jewish people. 1924, Hitler, armed with Mein Kampf, is unleashed upon the world. 1924, military time, a.k.a. Obama, is symbolically unleashed upon unsuspecting America to fulfill the evil dreams of his grandfather, Adolf Hitler. Numerologic perspective of 1924. The military time of a.k.a. Obama's fake birth. 1 plus 9 plus 2 plus 4, which, numerologically speaking, happens to be 16, which, again, 1 plus 6 is 7. Hitler's lucky 7. His evil lucky 7 imposed upon Pearl Harbor via the contrived time of birth of his daughter's little boy, Bari Malik Hitler Shabbatz, commonly known as Barack Obama. An additional piece of striking evidence of the Obama conspirators' occult allegiance. America's engagement in World War II, thoroughly instigated by Adolf Hitler, Obama's grandfather, was, guess what, 44 months. And in what place is Bari Hitler Shabbatz of America's presidents? Number 44. This is no coincidence. This is why he absolutely had to steal the 2008 presidential election. In true homage to Satan, he had to be number 44. So it turns out, a.k.a. Obama's 2008 presidential campaign love affair with America from its very origins was literally demonic. Before we turn our attention to tonight's show's closing topic, I'd like to play another Glenn Miller song, this one from 1939, but it didn't mean a thing. I play this song as a response from the authentic, good, honest hearts of Americans everywhere in response to the fraudulent, political, devious wooing of a.k.a. Obama, Herr Hitler Shabbats, a.k.a. Bari Malik Hitler Shabbats. Bari, in 1939, whilst your grandpa Adolf's heart seethed with deranged, insatiable, demonic lust for war, destruction, and global domination, from America's own Iowa native Glenn Miller's heart and the hands of his orchestra and voice of his vocalist, came this sweet and lovely recording, but it didn't mean a thing. Simple language mirroring universal truth about deceivers. Just like your pledges and promises in 2007, 2008, 2011, and 2012, and every moment between and since, your love affair with America never meant a thing. Bari, come on. You're 25% Adolf and 50% Malcolm. You can do much better. Much, much better. So, from 1939, Glenn Miller and his orchestra, but it didn't mean a thing. It didn't mean a thing. 1939, Glenn Miller and his orchestra. We now turn to tonight's closing consideration in this first Terrible Truth radio show on the Obama identity fraud scam, Bari's father, Malcolm X. As we studied at this show's outset, the dominant force, a force invigorated by legions of demons, has directed every personal and professional decision and act in the life of AKA Barack Obama, that force being the life, legacy, and eternally demonic, insatiable power lust of his maternal grandfather, Adolf Hitler, Nazi Third Reich Führer. In the throes of this, how does Barry, from his youngest days, manage to honor his paternal side? For any boy, of course, it's a natural impulse, a yearning, an irrepressible psychodynamic urge. Keep in mind, as I mentioned earlier, Barry's enslavement includes his mandatory forfeiture of his identity as Shabazz, as Malcolm's son. Malcolm, who invented the X as protest against slaves' loss of family identity. Anyway, tonight we haven't time to explore all the ways in which Barry covertly has managed to pay his father homage. However, we will look at the primitive encodings of the reality of Barry's actual father, Malcolm X, in the utterly faked and forged Born in Honolulu birth lie. August 7, 1952, was the day Malcolm X stepped out of Massachusetts prison at age 27 into his career with Nation of Islam. As the devil would have it, the Obama conspirators' decision to have, quote, Barack Obama, end quote, born on August 4th, had the additional advantage of being 3 days prior, Third Reich again, as well as satanic homage with three days prior to Barry's father's momentous day. A crumb thrown in the direction of the Malcolm X contribution to the birth of the Fourth Reich Führer, plus the contrived time, 7/24, is another crumb for Malcolm. 7/2 of 7/24 is the occult numerologic inverse of 27, Malcolm's age at his prison release, with 4 tacked on for the Fourth Reich. My, aren't the Obama conspirators brilliant? Use of the word African on the faked and forged Obama birth certificate is a third crumb tossed to Malcolm. At my Terrible Truth blog, you can find a post with an audio clip of Malcolm's notable speech, "We're not Americans, we are Africans living in America." Fourth crumb, an X stroke through the word the, T-H-E, another tiny declarative gesture to Malcolm X, a.k.a. Obama's father. But you know what? These crumbs to Malcolm in the Obama birth narrative are just that, crumbs. It's as if his father had no real value, no real contribution, though, of course, he is 50% of Barry. Barry, you know this. Disowning your father has always bugged you. Bad enough you lost him to assassination when you were young. Though, fact is, with Malcolm being married to another woman, you never really had him. You certainly were never allowed to openly boast he was your father, or even whisper. All for the Reich, of course. So how does a boy, a teen, a young man, and then an adult man who poses as Barack Hussein Obama II, leader of the free world, how does he manage these feelings? How do you, Barry? My Brother's Keeper program? Black Lives Matter? Race baiting, occasional photo ops with your chin in your hand, index finger on your chin, just like your father's iconic picture. All this can't possibly soothe your primitive wound, your loss, your public denial of your father. You know, just recently, in late July 2015, to reinforce the Obama identity fraud lie, which, by the way, has been busted wide open and the Obama conspirators know it, Barry was set up to tour Kenya as the fake son of another man. I studied him on that trip. I watched as he publicly smacked his father, Malcolm, yet again smacked his father in the face, disavowing him, disowning him. And I was sickened, not just by him, but for him. Yes, Barry grew into a monster at his Nazi elders' tutelage. But, alas for them, no matter what he's been brainwashed to say or do, they can't expunge the fact that he is 50% Malcolm X. Malcolm, abandoned by the Obama conspirators, the man they profess to idolize yet hide in history's dustbin, the man whose arch rival, Martin Luther King, they publicly pay verbal homage, whose bust sits in the Oval Office with Malcolm's son. Disgracefully, abjectly invisible Malcolm, the man without whom Barry Hitler Shabazz, commonly known as Barack Obama, would not have been. Someday, perhaps, I'll get to chat with Barry's mother, a.k.a. Joanne Newman, Malcolm X's teenage lover, about how she reconciles her publicly professed undying love for and loyalty to Barry's father, Malcolm X, with what she demanded their son do to resurrect her father's Nazi Reich. You know, Malcolm X, as complicated and controversial as he was, had guts. I find it impossible to believe that he would countenance his son's involvement in an identity fraud scheme in order to win the White House. Yes, Malcolm was cagey and cunning, but he had true courage, without layers and layers of security protection, without money, without position. Always in tremendous personal pressing danger for his life, Malcolm called it like he saw it. He'd never think it okay that his son publish an utterly fake memoir, Dreams from My Father, co-opting his place as that father. Au contraire, in the 1950s, 1960s, Malcolm went around town preaching to black Americans, I'm paraphrasing, who taught you to hate your looks? Who taught you to hate your skin? Who taught you to hate your race? Malcolm X invented black pride. Barry's father, Malcolm X, instituted black pride. You think he'd teach his son to hide who he is? Hardly. Barry, I've been thinking long and hard about it, and I honestly don't know. Would your father be more angry or more hurt by what was done to him? I don't know, but I think watching you occupying the White House under another man's name, I think your father would be more hurt, deeply, deeply hurt. As we conclude tonight's show on Obama identity fraud, I want to read a brief passage from a wonderful book on World War II entitled Stay the Rising Sun by Phil Keith, recently published by Zenith Press. It's the opening quotation featured in Chapter 5, quote, The Sleeping Giant Awakens, end quote. It's what Japanese General Isoroku Yamamoto said on 9 January 1942 concerning his, quote, successful, end quote, Pearl Harbor attack 1 month earlier. Quote, "A military man can scarcely pride himself for having smitten a sleeping enemy. It is more a matter of shame simply for the one smitten. I would rather you made your appraisal after seeing what the enemy does, since it is certain that, angered and outraged, he will soon launch a determined counterattack." End quote. Thank you, World War II History Network, and thank you, Zenith Press, for this lovely book, Stay the Rising Sun by Phil Keith. Yes, sleeping giant America has, at long last, awakened to its enemies. Its Nazi enemies, who now lie within. America is back on patrol. Our counterattack of exposure and prosecution will be decisive. Punishment will be exacted, which, for convictions of treason, is death. Yes, after 7 decades of sleeping, ignoring the Nazi underground, America is back on patrol. We're back to 1941. We must return to a December 1941 mindset. So why don't we close tonight's show with a song written and recorded in December 1941, an immediate passionate response to the Axis attack on Pearl Harbor. The song is, "We Did It Before and We Can Do It Again. We Will Do It Again," Barry Wood on vocals. Thank you, O Lord God, for all you've bestowed upon our wonderful country, America. Thank you, O Holy Spirit, for beaming your laser light of truth upon the Obama conspiracy. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in to Terrible Truth Radio Show and paying heed and getting back on patrol against America's occult enemies. Our Lady of Fatima, pray for us. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Till next time, for Terrible Truth Radio Show, I'm your host, Martha Trowbridge.
Take a year or two or five or ten.